If for some reason you were doubting for a second that women could not do both, well, here is your evidence. I have Kennedy Taylor on the show, and I have been absolutely obsessed with following her online as she went to Miss America, placed in the top 10, but also has been continuing to provide her audience with incredible tips for cybersecurity safety. She is a senior cybersecurity consultant for Ernst & Young, and she's truly a beauty inside and out, a pageant queen for over a decade, putting herself in as many competitive spaces as possible, a former cheerleader for the Redskins. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. This woman has no bounds. She recently attained her master's in cybersecurity risk management from Georgetown. And outside of her professional career, Kennedy won the title of Miss Maryland in 2023. For the first time in Maryland history, Kennedy brought home two preliminary scholarship awards for Miss America, totaling $60,000, and placed top 10. As Miss Maryland, she educates youth on internet safety, best practices, and advocates for adequate privacy regulations to protect youth. I love this honest conversation I have with her about being not only a pageant queen, but being a woman in cybersecurity. How did that start? What does that look like? Are there barriers that she faces in this male-dominated industry? She does such a terrific job breaking down these barriers all the time, then also providing us tips with how to continue to do both. Here's Kennedy. You're listening to Misunderstood Podcast, where we are setting the record straight on all things misunderstood. I'm your host, Kelly Hall Sabraki, pageant runner-up, model, speaker, wife, and U.S. Navy lieutenant. I may have never won a Miss USA title, but I am the queen of being misunderstood. Welcome to the show, guys. What's up, world? Welcome back to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. I'm so thrilled because I've been fangirling over our guest today for so long on the internet. And here she is, here to talk to us about all things cybersecurity and being a powerful woman. Kennedy, welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness, I'm your biggest fan. Thank you for having
me. Stop. Of course. I was just explaining to you that obviously you're a powerful woman, you're career oriented, you're doing both, you're building an online presence, you're a pageant queen, you're all of it, and you just started a podcast. Congratulations. But we have to make time where we can, right? So today I was like, okay, I'm doing three interviews today, but I have to make sure I make time for Kennedy. Like, I have to get you on the interview list because I think your message is so important. And I think a lot of women, they don't talk a lot about cybersecurity. Like, I kind of picture a room full of old white dudes with big nerdy glasses on and not you, not the person that's sitting in front of me. So yeah, I think this is such an important discussion to be had.
Thank you. No, you're right. That's exactly what it was like. I think starting my career in cyber, especially, I was always in a room and I was the only person who looked like me and let alone was a female. So I'm grateful to be in this position and able to talk to your viewers today.
Yeah, I want to kind of dig right into it. Before I get into the question that I ask every guest, I want to hear a little bit about why cyber and then why pageantry? Like, where did those things kind of coincide? Because you just placed top 10 at Miss America. Congratulations. You absolutely killed it. I literally remember your performance because I video recorded it, but I was also screaming. So incredible. But to think about the boss woman you are during the day and then being on stage and, you know, fitness and business and interview and doing all those things through pageantry, where did those things go hand in hand? Did one start before the other? Like, just explain to us a little bit about how that journey kind of took off.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I actually got into pageantry 12 years ago. So I competed
in
the America system for the title of Miss DC's Outstanding Teen. I was first runner-up, and then I did Miss Maryland's Outstanding Teen, and I won that year. And I was only 14 years old, so I was very young. I went to Miss America's Outstanding Teen not knowing anything, but somehow I placed in the top 10. But I remember during that year, I grew so much. I went from being a very shy kid who didn't feel comfortable speaking in public to then speaking at lots of different appearances with my Miss Maryland and just having the best time while gaining scholarship money. So I think since that time, I've always had the pageant bug in me. It took me a while to get back into pageants after that because I didn't compete. I competed in USA, I think maybe 8 years later. I competed for Miss Maryland USA. And we can talk about this another time, but deciding which system to go for, I was like, oh my goodness, there's so many options. What do I do? But I do think they intersect greatly, right? Because I think everything I learned as a teen, those years I spent speaking, they help me in my career every single day. And they help remind me that it's okay to be different. It's easy to break barriers. I shouldn't say easy, but to me, it's something that's tangible and certainly possible. And I think without pageantry, I don't know if I would have felt that way.
So did you just kind of like on a whim start competing as a kid, or like where did the influence come from?
Yeah, so I was a competitive ballroom dancer. I think I've always just liked to compete in things. Like no matter what it was, I was like, I'm going to do it and I'm going to try to win. And my mom actually brought up pageantry to me. I think she must have had a title back in the day, but she never said. But I don't know why she has like this obsession with pageants and she gave it to me because now I don't know if I'm obsessed, but I love pageantry because I've seen how it affects women. Well, she certainly put the bug in my ear and got me to my first pageant.
Wow, that's incredible. So yeah, you kind of have like an illustrious background in pageantry. So where did you make this leap into cyber? Because I can't, like, pageantry is on stage. It's flashy. It's out. It's open. I'm picturing cyber dark room, not flashy. You know, like not on stage, like the complete inverse of what you would be doing in your spare time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're completely right. So during my time cheering in the NFL, because after college, or no, it was during college, actually, I cheered for the then Redskins for 5 years, had the time of my life, went and supported actually many servicemen and women overseas. So a shout out to you. Thank you for your service. But during that time, someone obtained my location and started to follow me. And they found my location online. It became a whole thing. And I remember just being terrified and not feeling like I had enough education to really handle what was going on.
How did you know someone was following you?
They were texting me saying, oh, you looked beautiful in Chipotle today. And I would block the number and more numbers would text me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So luckily it didn't go on for too long. I ended up just changing my phone number. But I remember going to the NFL at the time and I told them about what was going on. And they traced the number back to a Google Voice number and basically said, there's nothing we can do. And just that feeling of not knowing what to do, because I'm someone who can always solve problems. That's what I do in my job. I'm a problem solver. So just not being able to solve this problem for myself, I was like, I need to get educated. I think that I'm meant to be in cybersecurity. So I remember I was at the time working in project management and not really liking it, but I went to my partner at my company and I said, hey, do you have any other roles? And a cybersecurity role had just opened up. It was entry level and I felt like it was meant to be. I've been in cyber ever since and even got my master's in cybersecurity at Georgetown.
Wow, that's incredible. As a Virginia girl originally, I know how incredible that is to just even step foot on that campus. I ran there once before, but definitely didn't graduate from Georgetown. So that's so amazing. It's so neat that you know, this kind of was a light that was ignited in you later. You know, it's like it's such a specific niche that I feel like a lot of adults, they just know when they're in college, like they haven't always had an interest or something in it. But this came later as an adult, which is really interesting. What challenges do you think that you have faced specifically being a woman who looks the way that you do? You are gorgeous, obviously. You're very put together, very well spoken. But do you think it's hurt you? Do you think it's helped you? And what do you think is most misunderstood about being a female in that industry?
I think women are constantly underestimated, especially women who look like me, unfortunately. And when I go into meetings, sometimes I wear my hair out. I have big curly hair for those who are listening and haven't seen me. But, you know, it is a very different look in the cybersecurity field, I will say. So I think sometimes I do have to prove that I deserve to be in the room just as much as anyone else, that I'm knowledgeable. I think I get underestimated as well because of my age. It's very common. I think most people that I work for, first of all, I serve federal clients. They're all old. I don't know if I can say that. But yeah, I am younger, so I do have to...
They're experienced. Seasoned. Yeah.
There you go. I do have to prove myself in a lot of different ways, and I think a lot of women do. But going back to kind of what you said, women have experienced this for years. I'm just thinking back to being a child. I was really interested in chemistry. I was very interested in biology and wanted to pursue careers in STEM, but I was constantly told by my teachers that I could never do that. My grades weren't good enough. Maybe I should look at other careers. And I think that a lot of women experience this, of course, in all fields, but especially in STEM. I think this Women's History Month, I'm really thinking about how many girls are turned away every single day from careers in STEM. And it's just reminding me of why I got started and why I'm so passionate about speaking to women and girls.
Do you get to connect with a lot of young girls at schools or things like that, that are just so astonished by you and the way that you look and the career that you have?
I do. I think I'm very fortunate to be able to. But yes, as Miss Maryland, I've spent the year talking to many different schools about internet safety tips. But I think just being there and letting them see a woman in cybersecurity, they constantly are just like, wow, wow, you work in cybersecurity? What's cybersecurity again? How do I do that? You know, and it's special because I never had that growing up. I don't think I ever saw a woman in cybersecurity until much later in my life. So it is special.
It is. And I truly believe there's such a difference between hearing about it or maybe seeing it online, but then physically seeing a woman in that role. It somehow instills a sense of belief in themselves. Like, you know, they're able to actually see it in front of their face. And so they're like, okay, oh, maybe I can do that too. But they have to like see it to believe it, really. And I feel the same way about being a woman in the military. It's like, we're not new. Like, we've been in the military for a very long time, serving in different capacities. But I'll go to schools and these teen girls will still be blown away by me. Blown away just because they've never seen a woman of like my size, my stature, the way that I look in a uniform before. And then all of a sudden that becomes something really relatable for them. And they're starting to think about, wait, I can see myself doing that too. Like, why? Maybe I could be her, you know? But there's some sort of disconnect sometimes virtually. It's like just that physical presence can be so, so, so impactful to make them believe a little bit more in themselves.
Absolutely. Representation is so important. That's why I love pageantry, because I do think it gives women a platform to be that representation. And you, oh my goodness, you and your platform that you've built, of course, through pageantry, but also on social media, it is inspiring so many different women. So thank you. I am in awe of that 100%.
Thank you, Kennedy. I feel like pageantry helped catapult, really was a launch pad for me to understand branding and platform and like all of those things. I didn't know what any of that was 8 years ago, but it's helped me continue even when I stopped doing pageantry. I was like, wait, I'm not just going to stop doing this because I didn't win a crown. Like, this is actually something that really matters to me. And I started seeing that change in the people who are following me or the people I would meet in person. That's the coolest thing. You know, I get messages from people, and I'm sure you do too, even especially when you're going to Miss America. Like, people say the sweetest things online and you can just cherish it. I actually screenshot them and I put them in a folder on my phone.
Oh, that's so smart.
I never. Yeah, you have to, because I have a folder. It's called Inspire and Impact. I started it probably like 4 years ago. And if I get a message that's just, or an email, like really, really tugs at my heartstrings, I'll add it to this folder. And there are some days that are harder than others. And I don't know if I should stay in the military, or I don't know if I should keep up my online platform. And then I'll go to that folder and I'll just sit on the train and I'll look through some of those comments or some of those emails. And I'm like, okay, hang in there. Like, do it for them, you know? Like, that's always so encouraging. But it's also crazy when you meet people in person and they've been touched by your story or just touched by meeting you, or they've been following you for X amount of years. And that, again, that's why we keep showing up. That's why we keep going. And we have to be that representation, just like you said.
Absolutely. Recently at an appearance, a little girl went to her mom and said, "Mom, there's a girl like me who's in cybersecurity. Like, I didn't know I could be in cyber." And I don't know, it felt so silly at the time that I was in tears.
But
I was like, this is really, really special for me.
Yeah, no, not at all. I feel like I cry over everything. So definitely. I literally cry to this day. I'm just like in tears constantly because I just feel so touched. So on that note, I do want to dig in a little bit to Miss America. Like, what? Like, I can't believe I haven't talked. Well, one, clearly, I haven't talked to Maddie since she went to Miss America. I've obviously reached out, but I'm like, this girl's really busy. So we have not talked since she won. But yeah, I would love to hear your experiences, highs, lows. What did you expect? Any advice you have to give? Like, tell us. We want to hear all about it.
Yeah, no, we had a great time. It was a very fun week. And my roommate was Miss Maine. I think we became best friends. I became friends with Miss Massachusetts and Miss South Carolina. So for me, I'll have to say the highs were the girls. The girls were absolutely incredible. I think we had all been stalking each other online, you know, for quite a bit. So it was fun to finally meet them. And also just to have people who related to us, right? Like, we all have so much going on between balancing work and being Miss Maryland or Miss State, you know, and balancing our lives and our boyfriends. Some girls were engaged or about to be engaged. So just having a room of all of us where we could just say, oh my goodness, this has been a tough year, but it's been so rewarding, and I have your back. That for me was the high. Lows, I would say it was, of course, busy and maybe draining. There's a huge focus on social media right now, of course. And I think it's not just Miss America.
Like personal social media or Miss America social media?
Posting for your personal, like your state social media, that's in turn benefiting the Miss America program. And again, that's really all programs, I would assume, right now. There's a heavy emphasis on social media to support sponsors and to keep these brand deals going. I totally understand. But at times, we didn't get to hang out as much as we would have liked to because we were so focused on getting that content. And just missed opportunities when you only have a week, that's all. But that's a very small low, I would say, because I think that's for the greater good of the organization, and I'm fully in support of it. Things that I would say advice, right? So they totally changed our onstage question for finals, right? So instead of having your onstage question, they put a word behind us. And I think
that's right. Yeah.
Personally, very caught off guard. And I'm sure some of the other girls were as well. I would just say expect the unexpected, be ready for anything. Because as I would call myself a seasoned pageant girl at this point, I was so comfortable with the flow of a normal pageant that I wasn't ready for a situation like that. And I don't know if it threw me off. I didn't really feel like it did, but you just never know what's going to happen. So I would tell all girls, expect the unexpected, be ready for anything, and have fun.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was really shocked by that. So for the background, for maybe our non-pageant listeners, typically, you know, we have intro, or we have swim and fitness, then we have a ball gown portion, and then there's some sort of on stage, that infamous on stage question, right? Like, that's what you get scored on. So that's kind of what we all mentally prep for, interview prep for. And I was shocked at Miss America where they just kind of were like, and by the way, all of our top 10 are going to sit down in these stools and we're going to put a word behind them, and the words ranged, and like, it was just a topic. So you could take it any direction that you wanted it to, but there would be a topic put behind you, not a question. So I think there was terrorism, there was drugs, there was healthcare, and yours was environment. Is that what it was?
Yeah, something completely unrelated to my platform.
Yes. And I remember saying that too. I did a viewing party with about 10 other girls. And yeah, I actually got really spun up for you because environment as a topic, although super important, unless you're advocating on Capitol Hill, like invested in some of these policies, or maybe that was your major in college, or, you know, whatever. It's like, for me as a military officer, social media content creator, motivational speaker, like trying to provide tips for women to uplift them, I'm not really going to go on stage and thrive talking about the environment. That's not like where my area of expertise is. So for you, when you got that topic, I was immediately like, what? Like, and then you, of course, you handled it beautifully. Like, you spoke so well and eloquently, but you didn't get to touch on cyber, which it's really hard to get, you know, like, we're trained to kind of connect those dots and like figure out if you get one topic, how to like get to your endpoint. That's a really hard endpoint to get to. So I was like, dang, like I completely agree. And you're right, even for my own practice for Miss Illinois USA, you never know what, you know, where it's going to go. But it's so frustrating when you don't get to hear like to your core what you stand for and what you do, because you're being assigned a topic that isn't related really to what you have been doing.
Right. And especially us, I would say, at Miss America, because we do spend our year as Miss State dedicated to our platform. We all do so much work on it. So I was sad I didn't get to talk about my platform, you know, on the final stage, but I'm glad I did during prelims. And we certainly touched on it a lot during interview, which was great.
Good, good. Looking back, do you have any regrets? Any regrets at all about your experience?
No, I will say I remember during prelims, everyone was so nervous. I remember my director was nervous and the people on my board were so nervous. And I was pumped. Like, I don't know what it was about prelims, but I was like, I cannot wait to finally get on stage. I've been here for 5 days and I have not touched a stage yet. Like, I am ready to rock it. And I think that confidence really gave me what I needed to take home 2 preliminary awards that night. So for you, Missy, going into Miss Illinois USA, I would just say, be very confident. I mean, of course you are, but have fun. Like, don't let the nerves get to you. I'm excited to support you this year.
Thank you so much. I was actually at the gym yesterday and my sweet neighbor came up to me and was like, hey, congrats on the announcement. Like, so excited for you, Miss Illinois. And he's like, so are you like really nervous? I was like, actually, no, not really. And he was like, wow, really? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. At this point, I've just been doing this for so long. It kind of, your life is preparation. You know what I mean? Like you can practice your walk and you can practice your interview and you can practice your gown walk, all of those things, right? You can work out. But I think some people think that pageantry is something you prep for 4 months out, 5 months out. Really isn't. Everything that you do goes into your brand and your story. So like I've been building that brand and that story even more so the last 4 years, you know, since Miss California. So I just have to be confident in what I've done so far and just tweak those little things along the way. And actually our trainer, that's how I met you, our trainer, Body by Craig, shout out Craig, Grandpa Craig out there with his son or grandson right now. But he said it best. I think I had a freak out back in January. So everyone doesn't think that I'm so confident all the time. Like I did have a meltdown back in January after the new year. And I was like, what if? Like, what if the results aren't the way I want them to be? Like, what do I do, Craig? And he said it very plainly. He was like, I actually don't want to train you if you're only interested in a crown. And I was like, huh? Like, this is Craig. Like, this is winning Craig. Like, Craig always wants to win. Yeah, no doubt, Craig. Like, this is you. And he was like, yeah, I hope that it's more than that. I hope that this process is more than that for you and that you're confident in your start 5-star best. And he's like, all we can do is show up and be so good that the judges can't ignore you. And then we just pray that they get it right. And I was like, ooh, okay. Like that's, you know, put me so at peace because I was like, you're right. All you can do when you really show up to anything in life, whether it be a competition or a pageant or a board meeting or a big business deal, whatever it is, like all you can do is hope that you and pray that you're prepared, you're confident, you've done everything you possibly could be to arrive at that moment and then pray that you're so good that you can't be ignored. Because then at that point, it's kind of like, well, I did everything I could. So what's for you will never miss you. So I think ever since then, I've just had a lot of like peace about stay the course, train, prep, be you, do all the things that make you uniquely you. Don't change anything about that, but then just be so good they can't ignore you. That's the hope.
It's one of my quotes from Steve Martin, be so good they can't ignore you. It's been like a life motto of mine for a year. So I love that you just reminded me of that.
But
you're absolutely right. You just have to be at peace with whatever. I know that you put your best foot out there. I know that I personally have not won many times, right? But for me, it became about the journey every single time. You're living your own journey. You are representing so many incredible women. And I will say, so there's a girl competing in Maryland this year, and she is active duty in the Air Force. Shout out to her. I remember her name.
Yay.
But she messaged me and said, like, I don't know if I could balance everything. What do you think? And I was like, well, have you like heard of Maddie? She just won Miss America. Have you followed Kelly? Like, she's incredible. I was like, follow them, reach out. They'd love to help you and talk to you about the honesty around pageantry and balancing it with also being in the military. So she loved your page, of course. So thank you for being that representation for her. But you're 100% right. Like, we just have to go for our dreams and be grateful and accepting of any outcome.
Yeah, exactly. It is a balance. And it's so funny that you mentioned specifically the content piece of it, because I just have like a natural talent for it. Like, I'm just grateful that God planted that little seed in my brain. Even for Miss Illinois, I'll be honest, I have already, it's March. So by the time this episode comes out, it'll probably be closer to the competition. I am already mapping out my content for the weeks leading into competition and my content during the competition. And I say during because some things are relevant during the competition. You have to be posting live, if you will. You know, that's what followers want to see. That's what sponsors want to see. But you're so tired. And, you know, we've done this before. We've done many, many competitions before. You're so exhausted. You just really want to spend your spare 30 minutes like doing nothing, not trying to reach for brain cells to create a caption or edit photos. So I legitimately have already started that process now because of the work that it takes. But specifically, I'm curious. I want to get into some of like your tips about being smart, especially in the cyber world. Because I'm someone who, like I said, I have a talent for social media, but I'm not very talented at being smart on social media when it comes to protecting myself, security, that kind of thing. I do the best that I can, but sometimes it freaks me out if I start thinking about it too much, truly. So for listeners out there, what are some practical things and tips and advice you'd give? All of us are on cyber. All of us have smartphones. All of us have laptops. So what advice do you have for us?
Absolutely. Well, the first one I definitely share with title holders, but also anyone who may be at an event, period, right? Like whether it's a tasting event in your local neighborhood, I would say don't post anything until you leave the event. Mm. It can be very dangerous to share that information live because people could, one, they know where you are, they know who you're with, it's easy to find you, it's easy to hurt you if they wanted to. They know that you're not home. You just have to be very mindful about what you're mm-hmm. sharing live. So I think that goes for title holders, right? But it also goes for everyone. I would say to educate your loved ones. One thing that I did not know until I became Miss Maryland is that internet safety lessons are not mandatory in schools, right? Some schools have them, some don't. But a lot of children right now are using the internet without any idea of how to protect themselves. So I would say if you know anything, I would reach out to your younger cousin or daughter, whoever it may be. Make sure that they know how to protect themselves. Think about your settings when using different apps. Think about the data that you're sharing. But they probably need your help. And I would say if they're under 13, they probably shouldn't be on YouTube, right? Or Instagram or Facebook or any of those things because there are not tools in place to protect them. But you can help them. You can certainly help them out. So definitely think about your loved ones and educate them.
Are there specific settings you recommend, you know, for smartphones or online tools or things like that?
Yeah, well, I think a lot about location sharing, right? Like automatically the default setting is on for us to share our location with a lot of different applications. So I would say turn that off. You probably only need it for Google Maps or whatever you use for navigation. And then if you have like a family location app, that's something that I keep on. But that's about it. Data tracking is also something you don't really need to have on. Basically, all of these different providers or service networks are trying to create a fake profile of you. They're following your behavior so that way they can target you for ads or who knows what else in the future. So just something that I also don't think that anyone needs to have on. And then I will say, I don't know if you've noticed, but on Instagram now, it can show your status as online or offline.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. So it's weird. It's not like Facebook where it's a green dot and you see it all the time, but it is there. So I would make sure that your status isn't being shared on Instagram and any other apps where you can share a status, because that's another thing. It's like if someone knows that you're physically on your phone right now, they know that you're vulnerable. If you are at the grocery store and they see you, but you have that green dot, you're using Instagram, they can steal something from you in 2 seconds because you're on your phone. Just something that I like to be a little bit mindful of. I just turn all of that off.
two things. I'm curious, you being the professional, what your thoughts are on these. Something that I do is I don't click any links that I've never heard, like seen or, you know, welcomed. That happens a lot when we get emails, like as content creators, we'll get emails to work with a product or work with a brand or for an invitation to this event. And that's great. But sometimes if you click those, if it doesn't look like it's from like a legitimate source, then you're clicking and they get access to your phone or they get access to some. Yeah. I forget what that's called.
Yeah. Phishing. So okay, phishing scams are extremely popular. We get them by email. We get them from text now as well. I get a lot of UPS ones saying that your package has delivered or we have issues with this link. And help make it more clear. So yeah, scams are coming from every angle. And usually what they're trying to do is download malware on your device. And if it's downloaded, sometimes you don't even know. They may try to shut down your device right away. Sometimes they just kind of live in your device and basically steal any information that you're using from then on. So yeah, phishing is scary.
What I typically do is you can also tell right away if something's not very legitimate. I'll get a lot of like Amazon collaboration requests and it's like a ton of misspelled words and hieroglyphics and things like that. And I just immediately delete it. But then other ones that do seem pretty legitimate, I'll just Google the brand instead of clicking the link to see like, oh, if it's Live Fit Today, like, okay, what is Live Fit Today? And then I'll go to their page and be like, okay, this is actually a very like legitimate site. And then I don't know if you've heard of this one, but I had a friend who got his social media hacked by a screenshot.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty wild too. Essentially, like basically say his name's Dan and his buddy John. His buddy John's account was hacked. So John reaches out to Dan via DM and is like, hey, bud, I'm having issues screenshotting on my phone. Do you mind going to this page and just taking a screenshot and sending it to me? So Dan, being buddies with John, was like, oh, yeah, yeah, gotcha, bud. And he took a screenshot from his phone and just sent it over DM. And somehow they're able to trace something back or get access or something. And they hacked into Dan's social media account that way. Because sometimes I'll have brands that are like, hey, can you send us a screenshot of your audience or your stats or whatever? I'll take a screenshot on my phone and then I'll put it into a PDF or something. Like I will make sure I take like an extra step to ensure it's like not the actual screenshot. But that's something that's happened too, which is really scary. So I try to be extra cautious, but I'm like, everything's so terrifying. And Alexa's always listening too. So I don't know what to do about that.
You're going to make me Google this. That's crazy.
Yeah. This happened probably like 6 months ago or so. Yeah. And I know like password settings too, you know, obviously try to protect those, but yeah, I get really, really nervous.
I wonder if they were just exploiting a vulnerability on Instagram or something. Like maybe for a time, anytime you took a screenshot on a specific screen, it showed the password or I don't know, something. I'm curious. I'm going to have to Google it.
Yeah, I'll give you homework. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm a nervous Nelly when it comes to that stuff, for sure. I definitely.
So I'm guessing you have a strong password and multi-factor authentication and all the things. Good.
All the things. And like you said, I think it's good practice. I do one, I'll say for privacy, I'll take videos when I'm at events or whatever it is, but not post real time for security purposes. But two, it also helps you be more in the moment. Because I don't know about you, but it takes me an extra couple minutes to perfectly curate my Instagram story and add the music and add the link and add the, you know, the caption or whatever it is. So instead I'll just take the video and then I'll do that all later when I'm chilling on the couch, not doing anything. So it kind of is a 2-for-1 special there.
Absolutely. And just one more note, I will add one more tip because I like to work in coffee shops. I feel like that has been my new thing, especially since I moved to a new area. But if you're using public Wi-Fi, you are putting any device you're using at risk. So just a reminder to you and those listening, not to use public Wi-Fi unless you have a VPN. But if you really must, if you have to, I would say just avoid accessing any sensitive info. So not your banking information, nothing that requires your social security number, but it just becomes very easy to literally hack into your computer and gain that information if you are sharing it.
Oh my gosh, that's terrifying. I'm always on public Wi-Fi. Is it a secure network,
though? Like, does it have a password?
Yeah, if it's like a hotel, that's what I'm thinking of.
No, that's not secure.
Oh, no. Now I'm going to go cry because I'm exposed myself to the internet in more ways than just being a content creator. All right. Well, you have motivated me so much. Kennedy, thank you so much for sharing. I love this multifaceted interview being recently at Miss America. I think people are going to be thrilled to hear about your experience, but then also just dominating this male-dominated field in cyber. It's incredible to hear your story, and I just really appreciate you sharing it with us today.
Thank you so much for your time, Kelly. It was fun to be here.
Absolutely so fun, and best of luck to you. You have so much going on. Please let all of us know how we can find you, find your podcast, find whatever resources you're giving your audience these days.
Yes, so my Instagram is at Kennedy Taylor S, Kennedy Taylors. I actually just got engaged, so that may be one day. And I did start a podcast. It's called the Ladies Lead Podcast. And you can follow that at Ladies Lead Podcast on Instagram and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I love it. Well, congratulations to all things, to your engagement. It's been a big 2024 for you. And I know it's going to continue to be amazing. So cheering you on, girl.
Thank you. Cheering for you. Good luck.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. I love hearing from you guys, and I want you to take a screenshot of this episode, tag at misunderstood.podcast on Instagram, and share a takeaway from today's episode. Something you loved, something you wanted more of, whatever it is, it helps me learn what you guys want to hear. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes or Spotify. I want to give a special shout out to my friends at Hatch for producing this episode. If you're looking to launch a podcast, or if you already have one, you can get unlimited podcast editing by visiting usehatch.fm. That's usehatch.fm. Thanks so much, guys. Until next week, this is your Misunderstood, Kelly Hall. The views and opinions presented here in this episode are those of myself and do not necessarily represent the views of the DoD or its components. Appearance of or reference to any commercial products or services does not constitute DoD endorsement and those products or services. The appearance of external hyperlinks does not constitute DoD endorsement of the linked websites or of the information, products, or services therein.